Okay, now this is Rabbi Samuel Halpern, right?
Yeah.
That's your name, and you're from London, England, Stamford Hill, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so these are the impressions of Reb Aaron Kotlazal, okay? What happened at that time? Okay.
It happened, I mean, I have to check my memory.
Okay, as best as you can.
Can I ask you to switch the machine off for a moment?
Yes. Okay, it's on. Okay. What was the incident? What was the experience then?
My experience. We were, of course, prepared.
When was it?
This was, I believe, 1961 and again in 1962.
Okay.
I may be 1 year out, but it's
okay,
about that.
Not important. Okay, what was the experience?
And as far as I remember, I must tell you, it's as far as I remember.
Okay, fine.
A child of 11, 12 could fine. Sometimes, by now...
What I found out is that people, even older age, don't remember things. That they get facts mixed up. But
yes.
That's not my...
Yeah, you want to know the impression.
Right.
Right, so we were young, as you know, I told you, we were 11 and 12. I have one brother who's a year or two older than me. He lives in Lakewood, Benjamin. He's the...
I have to get to him too, but I want to get to you first because you're further away.
Okay, right, and then you'll speak to my older brother
right.
too, no doubt.
Right.
So what I remember is this, of course it was a great excitement in the house that we hear about Kotler staying with us.
Yeah, what did you hear about him before he came?
We knew he was Rosh Yeshiva Lakewood, the Klatsky Rosh Yeshiva, and we had a good idea who this is, you know, my father himself being a Rosh Yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been in London some years before that, maybe after the war, so he'd stayed with my uncle, Rav Zedel Samyatitsky, I believe.
Uh-huh.
But he was no longer alive. He was in Nifta in 1956.
Where did he come from?
He came from Tiktin and he was in Shanghai. He was from the Mirrors. He was 25 years in the Mir.
Uh-huh.
That's a story in itself. And he stopped off in London and got married to my mother's sister.
Uh-huh.
That's a story in itself.
Uh-huh.
And a long story.
Okay.
So he'd been there, I believe, that was the station for Litvisher Rosh Yeshivas who came by and stayed in England. Rabban was one of them, Rabbi Zudel, I think, was also staying with him, and others. And Rabban, I believe he was supposed to stay with somebody else, I believe so, with Diane Grossnas, but for some reason he couldn't accommodate him, so he was going to stay with us.
Uh-huh. This is the same neighborhood where you live now?
Pardon?
This is the same neighborhood where you live now?
Same neighborhood, yes.
Yeah.
My father is no longer alive, but my mother's still there, Loyal Yomim, and it's the same house.
Uh-huh.
It was a large house, so we had plenty of room to accommodate him. He
what
came along
is, what the... What street is the house on?
27 Warwick Grove,
So I wasn't once in Stamford Hill, so I have
some
experience there. I stayed by Mrs. Strom.
You stayed where?
By Mrs. Strom.
Yeah, it's about 8 minutes walk from there, 10 minutes walk.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And he was supposed to stay two streets away with Ryan Grossnas, I believe, who couldn't for some reason accommodate him then, so he was staying with us.
Yeah.
The first time he came with Avraham Stefanski, who was known as Butch Stefanski.
Right.
The second time he came with somebody called the Hokach.
Rokeach.
Rabbi Rokeach, who also learned
I spoke to both of them. I spoke to one of them, not both of them.
Right. And he came on Asconis the first time.
Yeah.
I think he came for Pehilim. I think it was for Pehilim, yes.
Pehilim?
Pehilim, yes. Pehilim. Pardon?
What was the title? Pehilim or Tashbar?
No, I think it was Pehilim.
Okay.
First time it was Pehilim, I think so. And the second time, I don't remember if it was for the same thing or not. I don't remember that. And he came to England, and it was great excitement. First, he was going to stay with us, of course.
Yeah.
I don't remember if it was on the first occasion or the second occasion.
Yeah.
There was going to be a meeting of Rabbanim who came from all over Europe for this Pehilim emergency campaign. It was either the first or the second, and they did, in fact, come. They did come from Europe, from France, from Antwerp, from Switzerland. They came from all over. And they were busy in the house. Some meetings were conducted at Blaza Tzan's house, I think, who was then the London sort of head of Pehilim, who now lives in Manchester. Perhaps you should speak to him also.
What's his name?
Mr. Tzan, Z-A-H-N, Blaza Tzan. I can give you his number at the end if you wish.
Give me the name. I didn't get the name yet.
Blaza El-Oza Tzan. Tzan. Z-A-H-N.
Z-H?
A-H-N.
Zahn.
Yes, Zahn. And he has always been, I believe, the head of PLM, the agent sort of for PLM in London, and he coordinated the meeting, I think, and some of the meetings took place in his house.
So he's an older man.
He is now, he must be close on 80, 75, 78, something like that, yeah.
And what was his background?
He has good recollection. You enjoy speaking to him.
Okay, I'd love to speak to him. Okay, do you have his number?
I do indeed, yeah.
Okay.
You want it now?
I'll
give you his number now.
Okay.
I'll also give you the number of somebody else who, if he'll be willing to talk, to tell him some things.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it afterwards. The
numbers. The numbers?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about the numbers later.
Yeah. Back to the visit.
Back to the visit. So we anticipated his visit with great excitement.
Yeah.
We were, of course, in school, but we must have taken some time off because I do remember spending a lot of time at home.
What time of the year was it?
I don't remember. That I cannot say.
Okay.
I don't remember. It wasn't the height of winter, but it was cold enough for a coat, and he did use an umbrella, and we walk around holding the umbrella, shouldn't fly out in the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And when it did, he checked us. He quickly looked around whether it disturbed any of us. You know, it may have.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so. So, my impression was that however sharp he was in his intellect and in his shiurim, but he was very soft and very gentle. And he noticed everything in the children. He was, you know, very observant, and his demeanor and his behavior was all very, very gentle and very kind, very careful.
Mm-hmm.
And Rabbanim kept on coming and going. There was a lot of activity in the house. He ate. My mother would have serve him the meals in a room alone, you know, not with everybody, and we would bring it in and bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting thing happened that somebody had called from America and didn't put the phone down.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, if you didn't do that, you remained connected.
Oh.
So he had to go across the road to a family called Levy. Mm-hmm. And make some calls or receive some calls from there.
Mm-hmm.
An interesting thing was that Rav Shneur Zichrono Livracha, who came later on, some years later, and stayed with us too, the exact same thing happened to him, and he also had to go across the road to the very same family leaving to make or to receive calls, because somebody had called from America and left again the phone on the hook.
You mean they left the phone on the hook in America?
Yes, and it happened to Abaun, and it happened the same thing to Shneur.
There's no way to cut it off.
Both of them had to go across the street to speak from family leaving.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting.
Uh-huh.
And coming back to the story, so Abaun was in the house.
Yeah.
And I can't remember how many days he was here. How many days, I don't remember. One of the two occasions, he went to Gated in between the few days he was here. They came up from Gated, a delegation.
Who was on the delegation?
Who was on the delegation? Rav Leib Lopian, who was the Rosh Yeshiva.
Yeah.
But he wasn't alone. He came with others, I don't remember who, to really impress upon the Rabbi a request to bring him to Gated.
Uh-huh.
Which he did.
Yeah.
He went to Gated.
How long did that take, a trip?
It's a train trip today of under 3.25 hours, but those days would have been on the train something like 5.
Uh-huh.
An interesting anecdote there is, I'm not sure if it was for a Shabbos or just for a weekday, I cannot remember this. Somehow I think it was for Shabbos, I can't remember, you can check this up. And he said, Shini Shivan, and the Koidel in Gate said he was busy there. An interesting story was, and if you want to publish this, but private, I'll tell you this,
yeah,
that my parents really only had one good mattress then.
Didn't?
Only possessed one comfortable mattress,
yeah,
which was put on the bed which Abaun was to use,
yeah,
which he used. But when he went off to Gate said, they took it back.
Mm-hmm.
My father or my mother, whoever's mattress it was, they took it back for that night.
Mm-hmm.
But then, when Abaun was expected back early morning on the train,
mm-hmm,
my mother said, we've got to put the mattress back that night in case he comes early. He probably had a key together with the boy who was with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he may want to take a short nap before davening.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my father said, no, that won't happen.
Mm-hmm.
My mother said, it may happen. And then if he notices a different mattress, just in case he will catch on.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Why is this a different mattress? Probably I was using theirs and they didn't put it back in time. My mother prevailed, and in fact, they did put the mattress back. That's exactly what happened. The wagon did return early, and did take a nap before that. Interesting story.
No, it's interesting that your mother realized that how much he really perceived.
May perceive, yes.
Because he was very. All my conversations with people, that comes through a lot. He had extremely good perception of things that you think that he's not aware of. That's my
And really, you expect him possibly to be aware of, do you mean?
It's like he had more than an average, he had an extraordinary perception.
And people realized that.
All things around him, even people didn't realize it, but the few that did mentioned, that was mentioned several times, that he could figure.
I'm not sure if my mother realized that he had that perception, or she was afraid that it may happen.
He was ahead of the game, so to speak.
Ahead of the game. She assumed if that would happen, he would have agnus nefesh.
Extremely sensitive about other people's feelings and what they were thinking and where they.
Right.
And the whole matter.
She was used to anoshim gedolim from her father's house, so she knew what they were like.
Right.
So they did put the mattress back in. And my father assumed he wouldn't come early enough, it wouldn't happen, he can take a risk, but she said no.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, they put it back, and that's what happened. He did come early, and he did take a nap.
Mm-hmm.
That's one story. What else? That wasn't in England, that was in America, that's a different story. So we used to accompany him to davening. Around the corner, Schneider's yeshiva, the yeshiva then was active, and he would daven in the yeshiva. And he had to leave early to take that call, which he had to go to the neighbor, I think. Yeah. He had to leave early from davening for that once. I think it was an important call. I don't remember the details. He also said a shiur in the yeshiva, which was heavily packed, very full.
Were you at the shiur? I was not there.
Yes, I was at somehow. I think I was at the shiur.
What was the reaction at the shiur? Your reaction?
I don't remember. It was a big crowd. People standing at the windows. You know, they tried to get in. It was a reaction. I don't know if I remember this from my own experience or just because we were told that there was a Talmud Chacham in the area who asked in the shiur. Reb Shabtai Kukovitsky.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Radana Talmud Ilan Bar Barber, but he came from Brisk originally.
Mm-hmm.
And he could follow the shiur, obviously, and he asked in, and Rabban called him Amoritz.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he called him Amoritz.
I heard that a few times.
But after the shiur, when we got back home, Rabban wanted to know who that was, and he called him up on a phone. He only lived two streets away. And he asked him to come round, and they spoke in learning. Yes, indeed. And my father never let on that he understood the shiur. He never said that. In all the years, he never mentioned this. But when he was nifter in the shiva, the Talmidim came and they said that he repeated in the shiur, in yeshiva, my father was a rosh yeshiva.
Mm-hmm.
So that week, he repeated the whole shiur of Rabban. But he never told us that he made out as if he didn't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, and this was the second time, the shiur after the war, when he came and said the shiur, he did exactly the same. So we had two independent witnesses telling us about that. Because the speed that he delivered it, you know, he didn't expect many people to.
Did you say after the war?
He'd been here in the 40s, yes. Been here before. It wasn't his first visit to England in 61 and 62.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been here some years before that.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was 10 or 15 years, I don't know. He'd been here before. And I think when it was about that solo after the war, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's before my time. I was born in 50. Let me also tell you what else I can think about. I remember him, I think, arriving and carrying a briefcase of his ksovim.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it was said at the time that he didn't trust anybody else to hold it. He rarely gave it out of his hands.
That's true.
I don't know if it was his entire ksovim or the ksovim which he was using at the time saying shiur or not. And he had these wonderful blue eyes, very striking light blue eyes, which expressed a lot. I remember that. It's difficult to know for certain because you see pictures and then you imagine you remember it, but you perhaps don't, you know. The Gemara in Ksuz talks about that. Does he really remember? Is he thinking he remembers? It's really only from what he sees written. It's a delicate subject, whether you do remember or don't. But, was noch. What else can I say? Here for those few days, and one of the visits, he went off the gate to the middle and came back. story goes that they had it well organized in Gateshead, and the station master of Newcastle Central Station put on his top hat and tailcoat in full dress uniform to welcome this great rabbi.
He knew who it was?
They told him there's a great rabbi coming, so he put on his dress, his full uniform. Those days he was the station master. It's an important station.
Newcastle,
near Gateshead, yes, right. Just near Gateshead, over the bridge, yes.
My daughter went there, that's how I heard about it.
Yeah.
She used to go to Newcastle all the time.
That's right, Newcastle Station, yeah. That was one visit. What else can I tell you?
Is it the first visit you would describe?
I think it's the first visit,
okay.
Yes, I do
now
think so.
The
first
time.
Visit was the longer visit, I think so. It was one or the other.
The second visit,
I think, was in transit. He was coming through from outer soil. I think it was a shorter visit. I think so. The one with Rekeach, the first one with Butch Stefanski. Pictures exist of him saying a shiur in the Bismanders, by the way. They do exist. And we went in for a brocha, of course, before he left. We all lined up.
Yeah, what should he say?
I don't remember. I don't remember exactly the lashon. I don't remember. And we held it a great privilege to be able to go in very carefully and bring him his food and messages, whatever we had to go into the room to bring him. But it was very busy. There was a great big hassle. Oh, yes, one interesting thing. Let me tell you this. There was a Hoshavid in France, Rav Gershon Lieberman. He was in Fublin. He created the Naval book sort of institutions in France after the war. He was in Naval.com.
I think he was here once.
Yeah. And he was here on that visit too, coming from France.
Yeah.
There was, I think, Rav Chaikin, I think, was here. Rabbi Wasserman, who was then in Aix-les-Bains in France, who later became a Rav in London, was here on that. I think some rabbis from Switzerland came too. So Gershon Lieberman wanted to sleep in the bed after Rav Aaron had left.
Uh-huh.
And my mother wished to change the linen for him.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't have it. Nothing doing. He wanted to get in that bed the way it was. He was only too happy to get in there quick. I think he was staying with us, but after Rav Aaron left, he asked to stay with us. Well, perhaps he was. Maybe we were accommodating him also. But that night, he went into Obama's bed and was only too happy to do it. What else can I say? I'm not sure if I remember more. I don't know if I remember much more than that. We used to speak to Stefanski. He told us a few stories, but I don't remember. And then we spoke the next time round to Rekeach. I think Rekeach said at the time that he volunteered to accompany Rav Aaron because there didn't seem to be enough volunteers, and he was a belzer, as you know, a belzer Chsivisha, who was learning in Lakewood, and he was rather upset that nobody was jumping. They weren't fighting for the privilege.
Yeah, I think he told me something about that. The Litvisha didn't
jump at the chance,
fight for these things.
Yeah, he didn't fight for this, and he was upset about it.
Yeah.
I've met him since on a plane once, but I'm not sure if he lives in Atazol in America anymore.
He lives here.
He lives in America. You should speak to Stefanski. It's a pity because of...
I don't know where he is. Where is Stefanski?
He's in Amatersdorf. Stefanski married Isby. He became a son-in-law of Isby. You know the family Isby?
I had a Rebbe in Tavidas called Rabbi Isby. I don't know if it's the same...
Yes, there's only one family Isby. The Mrs. Isby was a sister of Gedalia Shaul.
Uh-huh, yeah, that was the one.
Yes, she then was a short while the second wife of Oblib Gulvich of Gateshead. For a short while, Zivugsheni, she only died recently. So her daughter is married to Avram Stefanski, and he really was the right-hand man of Obaron for a Tkufa.
Yeah, okay. I spoke to his cousin here. I think he has a cousin here, Blazer.
Yes, but he may have some things to tell you quite interesting.
So,
he accompanied him on a trip, and he was his sort of... he was Meshamish Bakoidish for a Tkufa.
One story that Blazer told me about that trip was very funny. That he went to the Ger Rebbe, the Rebbe Saul.
He didn't have to saw it when he was there.
So he wanted to come along with him. He wanted him to accompany him to the Rebbe. He says, they just want to go. He just wants to go to the Rebbe. So Rebbe Baron told him to get him a bracha. You heard this?
No.
So finally he went along. So at the meeting, the Geir Rebbe, they give out by chassidim, they give out pious to make a bracha.
Yeah.
So they gave him pious. He didn't want it. He didn't want it. So he was like refusing, like, what's chassidish thing? I just want a bracha. So Rabban told him, he says, no. So the Geir Rebbe said, Erzei ad irdvet, came with zayin achosid. So Rabban turned to him and says, "Ich gesagt habe, ich gebe mir Bracha."
They are good. This was Lazer Shafansky?
Lazer Shafansky told me about Butch.
About Butch, he told about his cousin.
Yeah.
Yes. They may have some interesting things to tell you, Butch.
I'm sure he
did. Well, to speak to.
I have to track him. He's on my list, but I just haven't got around to track him down.
Right.
It's a tracking.
I mean, he traveled with him. He must have a lot to say.
Yeah, I'm sure. But sometimes other people who are very close don't talk.
Maybe.
I've come across this a lot of times, that people who are really at the center don't want to talk. They're more fearful of saying a missed word.
That's right.
So I'm only good with peripherals. When people are peripheral, they're more talkative than people who are at the center.
Yes, it could be.
It happens.
Yes. So what else can I tell you about this?
That's right. If I knew it, you're going to tell me. I wouldn't ask you.
I'm trying to think, yes. I don't know. Maybe you should speak to my brother. He's 5 years older than I am, and he was more around, and I'm sure he has a few more things to add.
Let me turn off.